fasten your championship belts, because this podcast is unprofessional. Welcome to your weekly home for wrestling reviews, discussion, predictions, and more. This is Unprofessional Wrestling. Here are your hosts, Schwartz, George, and Travis.
Because I have been told that I need to vacate the one thing that means the most to me, my Women's World Championship.
Oh, what a bummer. What an absolute bummer. I'm bummed. How do you feel?
I hate it.
It's definitely not ideal. We're going to get into it. We're going to get into it. Hello, Cole. Cole's in the comments. Cole of the Going Broadway broadcast. Podcast. Going Broadway hey, podcast. Yep. That was a crummy way to start Monday Night Raw. It was reported either the day before or earlier the day of that Rhea was injured and possibly dropping her title as soon as that day. So that sucks. We'll get into it. We will. George isn't here today, but my tag team partner today, we got Schwartz in the house.
All reliable.
Cole says loving the setup. Don't love it too much. My fiance probably isn't a big fan because this is like the main living room that we have in our basement. And there's pictures of Ronda Rousey. So, I mean, we've gathered quite a few things since we've started, I will say. Started with Mr. Socko, which I've had for years. And then George got his Universal Championship belt that's still sitting here. And our friend Jake, during WrestleMania, brought us these random-ass signed Alexa Bliss and Ronda Rousey 8x10s on plaques. And a couple new additions that we have. The cat mask isn't here. And the stupid Drew McIntyre gravestone CM Punk shirt isn't here because that's stupid.
You hate it.
Yeah, a couple. We have one great new addition. And if you are a part of our Discord channel, you've seen it maybe. If not, there is a link to our new Discord server in the description of this video. Check that out. If you go to the Discord server, you'll see that we have a channel I created today called Memorabilia, where people can talk about, show off their collectibles, whatever the case may be. And I posted this in there this morning. This is my first belt. This is the World Heavyweight Championship, but you already know that because it's fucking awesome. And how wouldn't you know it? This is a gorgeous, gorgeous belt. But also, I'm not the only one that got a belt. Schwartz?
This is actually my first belt, too. It's kind of hard to see in the picture on YouTube, but I swear once I move in a couple weeks, I will have this thing beautifully displayed behind me or in front of me, just like you. So it is the United States Championship belt. This thing is magnificent.
I do really like that belt. I can't wait to see that in person.
Yeah, it's great. God.
Schwartz took a video of himself unboxing it. After the podcast ended last week, before we hung up our Discord call after the show, all I said was record it, and then I hung up. And then he said, I'm confused, in text message, in Discord, didn't answer him back. So UPS stopped by your house and then you pressed record. And so we'll be posting the unboxing for Schwartz's United States Championship belt on YouTube. And I will also be posting the one that I did of the World Heavyweight Championship yesterday. Just something different to add to the channel, I guess, because all we have currently are just the live shows. So we'll check that out. But like I said, don't forget, check out our Discord server. Link is in the description of this video. Come hang out.
I'm excited for that. I want to be fully engaged in that. I have never been a part of a Discord, so.
Yeah, and thank you to Cole, who is in the comments here.
Yes.
That server belonged to the Going Broadway podcast, of course, I've mentioned before, where we bought all of our podcasting equipment from. because they stopped doing their show, and Cole asked if we would want to take over their server, because I post in there all the time, like, hey guys, come check out our show, you know. So we appreciate anybody from there, obviously, from that community that checks us out. We're very, very grateful. So yeah, that's I guess that's what I've got going on since last week. Yeah. This new beautiful belt. This whole setup, this is temporary. We're going to finish off another part of my basement here, hopefully this year, maybe-ish, and then everything will be in there. It'll be permanent. I won't have to drag this big-ass table in front of the fireplace every week.
Let's just have a big reveal one week. Let's just, no matter how good it gets, just have one big reveal where we're both just ready to unveil the new backgrounds.
Yeah, when we start off in my new studio, you'll have to be here for that. Maybe we'll do it on a big show or something. All right. Down to business here. All right. Well, we've got not very much, but a couple news items. So let's check it out. Shorts, it sounds like Drew Gulak was whacked.
NXT, they referred to him as the business has been taken care of for the, or it's been taken care of for the good of the business.
Which, I think that wording is interesting.
They didn't technically say he was fully whacked or killed. It's just gone.
We know what that means.
So he's definitely going to be written off probably for a while, unless his allegations are serious, and I don't know. I mean, it'll get blown over, and I'm sure he'll come back, and he'll do probably decent when he comes back.
Yeah, and I'm not saying, of course, anything that anybody was mentioned, like, isn't in the wrong or anything, but Ronda has been stirring a lot of shit up with this book of hers. It is all over the place, everything she said.
She's basically, it sounds like she's just, like, out to just get anybody who's even closely wronged her. Or even thought about being wronged. So,
right,
out of terror.
Yeah, and I mean, I think there's still something to it. As far as like, I am interested to hear those stories, good, bad, or indifferent. You know what I mean? But luckily, she's never said anything terrible about Triple H or Stephanie or a lot of people that you hope you don't hear anything bad about for now.
So I thought she said good things about Stephanie.
She did.
I'm not really sure.
Good things. Yes.
Yeah.
Good things, good, good, good. My impression from WrestleMania is that Steph either is or is going to be back with the company. I don't think anything was ever announced with it, or if she was just there hanging out and they had her make a one-off, but I would like to see her back with the company in a more full-time perspective, whether it's on screen or off.
But, same. I think she's best for business.
Nah, I see what you did there. God, I hated that. Eric Redbeard has had some contractual obligations come up and has pulled out of some bookings, or a booking, as reported by an independent promoter who I cannot remember the name of. So the speculation is that he is somehow a part of these... We're back to the QR code stuff, which was the lead up, obviously, to Bray Wyatt's return. So one could only assume that this is a Bo Dallas / Taylor Rotunda story or something that's going to drum up from all of this. And there's a lot of speculation about who else is a part of that. Potentially, it's not just Bo. But there is talk of possibly Braun Strowman. Alexa Bliss has been trying to get ready to be back in the ring. A lot of speculation as far as who might be involved. But, of course, because of this, Eric Redbeard is one of those people that is being speculated to be a part of whatever this is that is getting teased on and off TV.
I like it. I like it if that's going to go that way. I think it would be great to have... Bo Dallas take over, and he's obviously not gonna, you know, replace. It's just a long Bray story.
Yeah, I'm curious to see where that could go. especially following like this sort of like storyline with Albrey, and I think they could definitely do it. And I think it'll be nice to have Bo Dallas back doing the thing. And yeah, I'm loving all the teases they do. I'm getting anxious to actually see it finally.
I just hope they do. Hope they do a pretty good job with his character, because I know Bray was just way out there, and you would never expect, you know, certain like promos to go the way they went, or even, you know, when they did vignettes, or even like on screen. I guess when they fought during COVID, I guess that was all wild.
Yeah, 100%. So we'll see where this goes. Hopefully it'll all go positive and it'll be something long term. And yeah, I'm just excited to keep seeing the teases and ultimately what the end result is of those teases. So we'll talk a little bit about that more when we get to Raw as well. But if you're watching us on YouTube Live right now, we appreciate it. Please say hello in the comments. We would really appreciate that as well. Any questions, any thoughts, if you want to join in the conversation, we'll definitely read your comment and respond. All right, last point here. I'm excited about this, but also like not as excited about it. So there's a rumor that Royal Rumble may or may not be coming to Milwaukee at is it AmFam Field, American Family Field, whatever they call it now. It's not what was it called before?
Miller Park.
Miller Park. There you go.
Only what it's called.
Allison says, hello. What's up? What's up? What's up? I would be excited if we could get Royal Rumble in Milwaukee and then Minneapolis gets WrestleMania. I would go into
that
a lot.
Would be ideal.
I would be in crippling debt. I would drown. Because how can I not do both of those? That being said, the other rumor is now it seems less likely Minneapolis is getting WrestleMania. Supposedly Vegas is in contention. Nothing's been announced yet. Nick Khan was in an interview recently. He said that they're definitely not going to be doing the Northeast in outdoor stadiums anymore in terms of WrestleMania. It sounds like any international WrestleMania is still going to be a long ways off. But no confirmations as far as where this year's WrestleMania or next year's WrestleMania is going to land. I'm going to be so bummed if it's not Minneapolis.
I just think that they need to keep Vegas in their back pocket, you know, like on like the every, like, you know, the fifth one, like 45th, you know, they can do just a big one. You know, they do big ones every 5 years.
Yeah.
It seems like.
Granted, like Vegas would obviously be huge business for them. Oh, yes. I mean, they would essentially take over Vegas more or less.
But Minneapolis is still a pretty decent territory.
Well, and there's a lot of wrestling history in Minneapolis.
Yes. So,
I mean,
I don't think they would do bad in Minneapolis.
No. Well, no matter where they do it, it's going to sell out. WrestleMania is the destination. It's not the city they're going to. You know what I mean? You could have WrestleMania in the middle of the desert, and they would still sell 80,000 or more seats. It doesn't matter. I remember CM Punk said in a podcast years ago, because he was complaining about not getting paid as much for one of his WrestleManias as some of the main event guys, even though he was told he should have been in the main event and their match was the best match on the card. And he was complaining that the main event guys, like I said, were getting paid more. And then something about how like the argument is, oh, well, they're the draw. It's like, no, WrestleMania is the fucking draw. It's not any one of us. And like, I believe that like people are going to go to WrestleMania no matter how bad the card is. They're going to go no matter what the storytelling is. They're going to go no matter what cities is or what the weather conditions are like, it's just always going to be, that's how it's going to be. It's WrestleMania. It's bigger than the performers. It's bigger than the company. It's its own franchise that is just, you know,
like the Super Bowl.
It is.
They could give a shit who's playing. They're going to go.
Yeah. And so anyways, in short, Minneapolis, they've obviously been very antsy to potentially announce WrestleMania. They have publicly said like they are waiting to announce an event that is second only to the Super Bowl. Obviously that's WrestleMania. There's nothing else that could possibly be. So we'll see what happens. Nothing's official. There's rumors about Mania. Now there's rumors about Royal Rumble and possibly being in Milwaukee. Let's just get everything here, man. Let's get everything up here, please. That's all I want in my life.
I'm in.
All right.
I would love it. I would love to.
Well, let's talk some SmackDown. SmackDown came to us from Detroit, Michigan this last Friday. Shorts, I think you wrote these notes down. Why don't you take us through it?
Okay. So it was in Detroit, Michigan. SmackDown was. Started off with Cody. He comes out and talks about how that Rock gave him something on Raw last week. And he said he knew exactly what it was when he handed it to him.
I don't like that.
And so Cody also talked about how there was going to be six people. So he kind of like let it go though with the whole, he knew exactly what it was. And then he pivoted and just goes, you know what? I'm going to worry about my, the six people tonight. They're going to be competing to determine the number one contender at Backlash. The six people will be split in a triple threat match. Winners of each one face each other. So it'd be, I think it was Kevin Owens. It was LA Knight, Santos Escobar, Bobby Lashley, and then it was Rey Mysterio, AJ Styles, and Kevin Owens. So that's a pretty good list of guys.
Oh, yeah. The best of the best on SmackDown, for sure.
Yeah.
I wasn't a fan of Cody saying The Rock gave him something that he was gifted.
Yeah.
Because, A, that makes me wrong about my theory of it being a lighter, and I don't like being wrong. But also... that's like this story that's been fueled by hatred and anger and whatever. It's like, okay, so now we're hearing that The Rock was given a gift by Cody. Like, what? I'm not a fan of that. That doesn't make sense to me. And I know everybody knows about the watch. I know everybody knows about the watch, but we shouldn't be let in on that.
The watch is too big. If you go back to the way when he handed it over, there's no way, like, Cody's hand did not, it was like this. It wasn't like a, like, holding it. There's no way that a Rolex would have been that tiny. Like, yeah, I know Rock has gigantic hands, but Cody doesn't seem like he has big hands.
I'll show you big hands.
I was waiting for you to say something.
Okay, anyways.
Allotted to that, like he let everybody know that it was a gift. So now I just think that it would have been better storytelling if it was your way that you said.
That's where I'm at, especially if you're going to build to Rock and Cody. I think that's a better way to do it.
Yes, it's more heat and people can get more invested into it. So, after that, it cut to Paul Heyman, Jimmy, and Solo, and they walk up to a larger dressing room, and they all had like their looks of disbelief because it's a dressing room that they normally go to when they go to the arenas, and they had the American Nightmare on it, and Paul just looked disgusted. He looks over at Solo, and he tells him, it's all about winning and losing, and that's the only thing that matters on SmackDown. And he says if they want that dressing room back, the Bloodline needs to win back that championship back, or win back the championship.
Yeah, and then, this is a great precursor to what happened later.
Yeah. And then Kevin Owens kind of slips through him, opens the door, and he gives him a little smart-ass comment like, yeah, I'm actually allowed to be here. And he goes in.
Good stuff.
Pretty funny. Yep. And then the first triple threat match goes on. It was LA Knight, Santos Escobar, and Bobby Lashley. And that winner goes to the number one contender one-on-one match. And that was That's going to be tomorrow, correct?
Probably, yeah. That sounds right.
Okay. So, match starts okay. I think both factions, both Bobby's faction and Legado del Fantasma get involved, which was wild because it was a lot of back and forth between them. I think Montez Ford jumps off the top rope and just does a suicide dive, essentially. That with all that happening, LA Knight kind of sneaks in and hits Santos with the BFT right after Bobby missed a spear and hit the pole. And then LA Knight wins and advances to Friday night then for a chance. So it was decent. It was a decent match. Nothing too extravagant. Got the job done. It just, they want to keep LA Knight in that spotlight, which I like. Now it cuts to Kayla. She interviews Ray and LWO. Ray gives like a little pep talk speech kind of deal, like a little motivational speech. And he pretty much says that he has one more in him. He said, I can get one more championship run in me. Everybody gets all excited. I was kind of excited when I saw that, when I heard that. I said, wow, imagine Ray with the title.
I can't, not anymore.
No.
Personally, I just...
But he had the world heavyweight title. He never had the other one.
It's true. That's true.
So, but too soon. I don't think you can ever expect anybody to win at a PLE right after WrestleMania. Then it cuts to kicking stuff around here.
Easy.
Then it cuts to Solo walking out with Paul and Jimmy. You get to the ring and Paul says the Bloodline doesn't blame anybody but themselves for the WrestleMania loss. Paul explains that Seth Rollins' Shield reference. He did blatantly talk about that Shield reference, which honestly I didn't even get until I think it was last week. I didn't realize that was the metaphor. He says that Rollins was Cody's Shield for the unfinished business that Roman has on Seth, which was pretty good. Solo insinuates, he goes over to Paul and he insinuates that consequences need to happen for the loss. And he hugs Jimmy and says, I love you, backs away, and Jimmy gets attacked by Tama Tonga.
Tama Tonga is here.
He gets the ever-living shit beat out of him.
Sure does.
And then Solo gets involved, hits him four times with the spike, which is wild, and then does the, I don't even know, what do you call the hip attack? Is that what you call it?
Yeah, sure.
And he puts a chair over his neck and does the hip attack against him, leaves him sitting there. All while Paul Heyman's screaming in disbelief. Solo and Tonga and Paul hold up the one sign. Paul Heyman was forced to give the one sign, which is great, because now Solo is pretty much basically kidnapping Paul Heyman. So during that, Solo takes Paul's phone and stomps on it after it seemed like Paul Heyman was trying to call Roman.
Love that. He said, call Roman Reigns. And so I was like, fuck that.
Yeah.
Stomps on the phone.
Stomps on it. But yeah. And right after that, that's when they hit the hip attack and they leave Jimmy just laying there. And they walk up with Paul Heyman in absolute disbelief.
Wild turn of events.
It was.
I'm not surprised Jimmy got turned on. I wasn't expecting Tama Tonga. It's been rumored for a little while that he was signed with the company. I don't know that I necessarily thought he was going to get thrown in the bloodline because he's not technically a part of the family. You know, then that's where people thought we would have seen Jacob Fatu in the bloodline before Tama, no doubt.
Still some time, though.
Oh, yeah.
I do have a theory. I've been looking and diving really deep into some of these theories.
Hi, Daisy.
Kelly's friend's dog is here, and I just want her to come see.
Daisy, come here. Hi, Daisy.
You can probably see her pretty easily because she's a Great Dane and she's fucking massive.
Come here.
Well, haven't seen anything yet.
Daisy.
She's all excited.
Come here. Come here. Come here.
Camera. Look at it. I think. Look at it. Oh, yeah. Oh, wait. She's a Great Dane. She's not look like a Great Dane.
She was crouching. She's trying to get away from me. She hates me.
I got a theory of the bloodline.
Might be the same one I have.
You do. I want to hear it.
I think we're gonna see. I think this is gonna lead to a War Games match at Survivor Series. I think we're going to end up seeing potentially Solo, Jacob Fatu, Tama Tonga, and whoever else fits the bill. Potentially The Rock. Maybe against Roman, Jimmy J, and I don't know who else. But
there's another bloodline, like it's a cousin of the Usos. He's not in MLS. He has just started probably last year in the Indies. But he is so good. Actually, I think he might be... Oh, God, I can't even remember. He might actually be Umaga's son.
Interesting. Okay.
Anyways, I think they bring in one more bloodline member, and I think it's like a good versus evil kind of bloodline match. I didn't think anything about Survivor Series, but that makes a way better thing or outcome. But that means Roman's going to be, that means he's going to be a face.
Yep. Sure does. It's possible. I think Roman Reigns is going to be gone for a while and he comes back as a big baby face. Potentially. Maybe.
He's currently working on a movie right now, an Amazon movie.
I saw that.
With Kiki Palmer.
I don't know who that is.
She's very controversial.
Hmm.
Anyways, Braun Breaker gets, he's going up against Cameron Grimes, who gets the jobber entrance. Doesn't even get anything. I think Cameron Grimes got like maybe two moves in, but Braun Breaker is just so fast, so strong. It's unreal. He beats the shit out of Cameron Grimes.
I'm getting so sick of these Braun Breaker just squash matches. This is not doing anything for him to help him or make him look good. Yes, he can beat people that don't have any wins. Woo. Let's do something with him already.
I think I could see that happening after Backlash. I think they're going to probably milk it until the end of Backlash.
I'm sure.
Before Backlash.
Of course.
So, but I don't know. Oh my God, this roster is so deep now.
Mm-hmm.
So deep.
You'll have to see it.
Bailey comes out and tries to cut a promo about how she thinks, or she thanks the crowd and everybody that she actually didn't think we were going to be behind her, I don't really know if they were too much behind her, but sure. Everybody loves a face turn. She tries to announce someone to be a contender, and before she could really even do anything, Tiffany Stratton comes out with her old theme.
That's right! Woo! The old music's back! The much, much better song. I'm so glad they switched it back.
That theme.
Those people didn't pop because she came out. They came out because they love that song. Just kidding, but still, it's fucking awesome. Oh, I'm so happy.
Her newer song, the one other one, that was like
garbage. It was garbage
on a chalkboard.
Oh, thank God.
Tried to make her sing, and it's not good.
Thank God.
It was great. I popped a little for myself, or myself, for that theme.
Of course.
It was great.
It was.
Tiffany Stratton comes out thinking Bayley was going to issue an open challenge for her title. And kind of talks about how she deserves it. And then Bayley stops Tiffany and says she was actually going to ask Naomi to come out. Naomi comes out, does her spiel, you know, her typical, not so good, not great, not bad, talking promo, I guess. She needs to do a little bit better, but they need to give her more mic time. But that leads to a quick, I think it went to commercial, then it comes back. Kayla is backstage talking to Paul. He comes out of the trainer's room where Jimmy is being checked on. Kayla asks how Jimmy's doing, and Tama comes up to Paul and says, by orders of the tribal chief, and Heyman is confused.
Yeah, so Paul clearly, by this, didn't know that Tama was going to be there and that there was going to be a turn on Jimmy.
Yeah. But it's also, do you think Rock? I don't know. This whole storyline, when he said that, kind of made me think, too. Is like, was it really an order of the chief, tribal chief?
Or are they considering The Rock as their tribal chief now? That never crossed my mind.
What about Solo being the tribal chief?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I mean, because Roman, like, more or less said, hey, you're going to be the tribal chief someday, like a long time ago.
And when Jimmy and Jay both super kicked Roman and they were out of the bloodline for, like, I don't know, what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks? They did cut a promo. It was on SmackDown. They did cut a promo alluding to saying that they actually would rather see a different tribal chief, and they were both looking at Solo. So there's a little bit of storytelling right there.
Yeah.
See? We'll see.
I love it.
So when it comes back to Tiffany Stratton versus Naomi, it was actually a pretty decent match. There was a couple small botches. I honestly thought, dude, I don't know if Tiffany Stratton is trying to mess with Fox, but that whole outfit was very risky.
I loved it, by the way. I guess.
It was... I read that they had to blur out a lot of stuff because she had some slips.
Oh.
So Fox was really working overtime on that match.
Damn, son.
They didn't give them a small amount of time. They gave them a decent amount of time on that match. Naomi rolls up Tiffany, and she ends up being the number one contender. So... It was okay. Nothing too big. Just longer. And then it says that a sign that said CM Punk was right. What are your thoughts?
I thought that was hilarious. I just had to throw that note in there because, yeah, right in the front row was a sign over the barricade that I noticed during this match that said CM Punk was right. And, of course, this is like a week and a couple days removed from AEW showing that footage that just showed that CM Punk isn't full of shit. When they were just trying to expose him. Anyway, we don't need to get stuck on that conversation again.
I love it. And then just a little vignette from A-Town Down Under about how good they are compared to everybody else. They did not show up. I think there was something. I know we had it on our last pod, but they didn't show up to that, the Detroit one. Then it goes over to Chelsea and Piper versus Jade and Bianca. Chelsea, I keep saying this. I love Chelsea's, she's like the R-Truth for the women division or women's division.
That's a good way to look at it.
Not as good, but she's still there.
Yeah, very Bianca quick match. Very quick and simple.
Yeah. Bianca takes Piper Niven's offense basically the whole time. Back and forth, and I think Chelsea gets a little bit in there. She ends up hot tagging Jade. Jade basically like power like kicks, not even a super kick. It was like a pump kick to Chelsea. Hits her with two moves and hits her with the Jaded for the win. It was essentially like the jobber match. I don't know. I think it was just more to get more people on there.
Just to make Jade look powerful again.
Yeah.
I think they're establishing themselves as a tag team also to go for those titles.
Yeah. Which would be fine. It's something new.
It's very new. So predictable. It's just going to lead to a turn. Obviously,
a little bit down the road,
Jade's going to turn on Bianca. It's so predictable. They need to do something interesting with those women's tag titles.
Like I said, they should just get rid of them and then do a mid card. It'd be great.
I think that would be better at this point.
It just seems like they just throw these tag teams together and it just doesn't make sense.
NXT is coming out with the Women's North American Championship.
I am so intrigued by that. That's why I think we should really get NXT involved in this soon.
Yeah.
Very intrigued with the new things, like what's going on.
Maybe next week we'll dive into it a little bit.
Okay. This is a cool one. This is more of their the camera angles. This was great. This segment with Kevin Owens.
This is super cool.
He has an interview with Byron Saxon, and then he ends up taking the mic, and Kevin starts walking through the backstage. He walks past a table and finds a Detroit Tigers baseball title belt. And he goes, oh, I really like this belt. And then he grabs the belt, puts it over his shoulder, looks at the table. He looks at the shirts that are on there, and he sees a CM Punk pile, and he slaps it off the table and then walks away.
Not cool, man. That was kind of funny. Not cool, KO.
And then he walks up to Gorilla and actually walks out to his song, which was great. That was super cool. then the last triple threat match started, and that was with Kevin Owens, AJ Styles, and Rey Mysterio. It was a good match. It was a fairly good match. I really liked Rey Mysterio and AJ Styles together because they can both do some. AJ is pretty powerful, but also can high fly too. It was crazy the finish. I don't know if AJ's ever done this before, but AJ Styles ends up winning by hitting a Styles Clash off the second rope with Rey in the Styles Clash, and he basically falls on Kevin Owens, and then I can't remember who he ends up pinning, but he ends up winning. LA Knight walks out to confront AJ for the win. And then they kind of go off, and AJ slaps his ass and Rey Mysterio before they kiss.
Yeah. You didn't even read it right, but it's fine. One of these days I'll actually get you with it. So
you also put slabbed.
Oh yeah, I fucked up. I was trying to fuck up Schwartz's notes like he does to me, where he's put something stupid in the middle of me reading my notes off. And
it's gotta be subtle. You just did an entire sentence.
Yeah, damn it. Anyways, Monday Night Raw is in Montreal, Quebec, for you Letter Kenny fans.
Yeah.
That's always exciting because the crowd is always super hot for this. And then it's just so exciting. Like when Sammy and Kevin are there, because you know, they're going to get a huge pop and everybody's going to love them because obviously they're both from Montreal. I think they both, primarily speak French. English is not either of their first language. And that's very fascinating because you would never, ever guess that. So of course, as we went over, the show starts with Rhea Ripley coming out. She's got a sling on her right arm. Adam Pearce is in the ring already, so we know what's about to happen here. Rhea says after the attack last week from Liv Morgan, She was attacked backstage, and the chair came flying on her head out of absolutely nowhere. She's going to be on the shelf for a few months, and she's been told she needs to vacate the Women's World Championship. She addresses Liv for attacking her and says she's coming back for blood when she returns. Liv's music hits, and she comes out with security following her, trying to prevent her from getting to the ring to get to Rhea. Security does prevent them from fighting, and Rhea basically goes, Liv goes back to the back. Rhea headbutts one of the security guards, and then later on we see Rhea backstage hugging Judgment Day and saying goodbye. So that sucks. I mean, what more can you say? That's about it.
I hate it.
Yeah, especially coming off of that huge, huge, I mean, to me, what was really her first, like, big win with that championship against Becky. All right, well, then we got the return of Sheamus, and he went up against Ivar. Sheamus wins the bro kick. I don't know. Sheamus doesn't really do it for me. I'm not excited about this. I don't know. I don't know what they would have him do right away. I don't know.
Well, it's like they didn't touch his character, which is fine.
Yeah, I was hoping they would do something different with him.
But normally they've been just, whenever he comes back, they alter his character a little bit.
Yeah, they didn't do anything.
They just gave him underwear to wear. Boxer briefs.
Well, yeah, we'll see what they do with Sheamus. I mean, it's good that he's back and able to be back, because I know he was gone because of neck problems. So, I mean, the fact that you can come back into the ring after having a neck issue, that's always a plus, right? So, we get Triple H coming out, making his entrance. Him and Adam Pearce are in the ring, and they have Awesome Truth come down. They unveil the new World Tag Team Championships. The Raw Tag Team titles are no more. They're being replaced with the World Tag Team Championships, which obviously have a resemblance to the World Heavyweight Championship with the smaller logo in the middle.
Circular.
Yeah, some people don't like that the center plate is circular, but I think it's fine just because it differentiates it from the other titles a little bit. But it's got a silver back plate. It looks really nice. I wasn't sure how I felt about the red ribbon at first. For some reason, the belt didn't look as good on TV as the pictures that they released to show that the replica is available for pre-order. So the photos of the pre-order for the replica, I think, did it better justice. I had to sneeze, my bad. So that's that. So obviously, Awesome Truth are given the titles. Triple H is obviously confused, and he tells Triple H, "You're not fooling me, Tommaso Ciampa." And they just really tried to get Triple H to break there. Adam Pearce said all that's left to do is have a triple threat match to determine the first number one contenders. So then, right after this, we get DIY versus New Day versus the Creed Brothers for the number one contendership of the World Tag Team Championships. During the New Day's entrance, we got another, presumably, Uncle Howdy / Bo Dallas tease. There was a QR code that I had to go back and I had to try to pause on about 8 times before I could finally get it so that it wasn't, like, misaligned, so I could actually scan the fucking thing. And it came up with an image. It was like 2 codes, but you couldn't read what they were. Well, what it was a URL that was split, so you had to kind of take the 2 and put them together, and then it formed the link. And when you went to that link, it did play a short video. And I can't remember off the top of my head what it said, but we obviously know that this is a part of the teases that have been happening. So I'm excited to see if we get another one of those on SmackDown. So anyways, as far as this tag team match goes, DIY win. DIY are the number one contenders for the World Tag Team Championships. Drew's backstage being interviewed about his loss the week before, where he lost his chance to be the number one contender. Drew watched the replay of CM Punk costing him that match on a TV backstage. And then he's asked about it. by one of the interviewers. And at first, Drew is kind of chuckling, laughing. He doesn't say anything to the interviewer, and then he just kicks down the TV where he just watched the replay from last week. So, continuing a small build, we didn't see CM Punk on Raw this week, but you know they're still reminding everybody, hey, this is the thing that's happening, and I think that's good. Obviously, yeah, as everybody knows, I've been pretty intrigued by this, by Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell. Yet again, they went against Maxxine Dupri and Ivy Nile. Indy distracted the ref by going in when she's not the legal person. And while that happens, Maxxine tags in Ivy Nile and Ivy runs in, but the ref sends Ivy back to her corner as he didn't see her get tagged in. So it's not technically legal if the ref doesn't see it. While that's happening, the illegal Indy Hartwell takes down Maxxine Dupri and puts Candice on top of her for the pin and win. So we're starting to finally see a little bit of a shift with Indy and her going around the rules a little bit and kind of now following the lead that Candice LeRae has been setting for several weeks now.
It's a good buildup. It's very subtle.
Yeah, I'm a fan of this. I think this whole angle has been underrated, personally. I don't know.
You think she starts the way again?
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe like that's like they start it, and then I don't know. Maybe like DIY, just in case it's like in their back pocket where they can just split up, and then Johnny goes to the way.
Yeah, you never know. Yeah, I'm curious to see where this goes. We got Andrade versus Dominic Mysterio, JD McDonough at ringside. Andrade beats Dom clean, and after JD attacks him, Ricochet comes out for the save. So clearly this is going to set up a Ricochet and Andrade versus Dominic and JD tag team match. Presumably, I would guess, speculate, if it hasn't been announced already, that it's going to be on Raw next week.
Very good match.
Yeah, Ricochet very has been match. Continuing to have this thing with the bloodline where he costs them something or beats them in matches, particularly more so JD and Dom than anybody else. But Finn and Damian have mentioned it multiple different points, multiple different weeks. We need to take care of the Ricochet problem, and that's not going away. So I'm liking that he's staying kind of wrapped up in all of that with them. Kathy Kelly is backstage asking Jey Uso about Tama Tonga attacking Jimmy. Jey seems very torn on this. He even says that, like, Jimmy's still my brother and I still love him, and then kind of snaps out it and says he needs to focus on his match with Finn tonight for the number one contendership of the World Heavyweight Championship. Caden Carter, Katana Chance versus Chelsea Green and Piper Niven. Nothing special here. Trav, who won this? Shorts, sorry.
This was actually a very good finish. It was Tana had was out with Piper, and then Caden Carter flipped over Chelsea, tried to pin her. Piper threw out Katana, and then went off the ropes, did like a splash while the pin was happening, and then Chelsea realized that it happened, and then rolled up Caden Carter for the win. Pretty sweet.
So, Chelsea Green and Piper Niven have a W for once.
It was great.
Hello,
it was right. Very simple and kind of cool.
So I was very intrigued by this backstage interview with Liv Morgan. Here it is.
I'm standing by with Liv Morgan, and as you know, earlier tonight, Rhea Ripley was forced to vacate her Women's World Championship. The crowd here in Montreal not pleased by that announcement at all. Is this the conclusion of your revenge tour?
Do you know, Kathy, I can't even lie. I'm a little bit confused by that reaction, and I feel like I'm walking around back here, and everyone is mad at me, and for what? I'm not the bad guy here. Where was the sympathy for me when Rhea literally tore my shoulder out of my socket and put me on the shelf for 8 months? Oh, yeah. There wasn't any, so you know what? An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a shoulder for a shoulder. This is karma at its very finest, and Rhea got exactly what she deserved. Do you want to know what the best part is? This isn't the end of the Liv Morgan revenge tour. No. This is just the beginning, because the end is Liv Morgan as your women's world champion. Watch me.
I thought this was done very well. I thought it was delivered very well. And my God, she made a good point. Why are people mad at me? Rhea did the same thing to me and people weren't mad at her.
Like the exact same thing.
So it's like, if we're supposed to look at Liv Morgan as a heel for this, that's an L take. Like obviously people are going to be mad that, you know, Rhea's going to be injured. And yes, it's because of Liv, but Rhea doing that as the heel to babyface Liv and now getting a taste of her own medicine and having the odds evened on her, why would I be upset at Liv for doing this? But it's going to be a banger feud when Rhea comes back. And
I think Liv should win this title and then hold it until Rhea gets back. And then it would be a massive feud.
Yeah. So one thing I know you mentioned in the Discord was you would be surprised if Judgment Day is still together or they may be hanging on by a thread by the time Rhea comes back.
Yes.
What if Liv has anything to do with that? Maybe she tries to get close to Dom. Maybe she starts tearing out the Judgment Day from the inside. She starts getting Dom's
favorite thing.
Yeah, I mean, because think of how Rhea ended up getting Dom on her side. She kind of like played games with him and whispered in his ear and kind of convinced him. You know, what if Liv Morgan did the same thing? I would be all for this, and I hope to see that.
I think realistically though, it's like Rhea is pretty much the glue to Judgment Day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 100%.
So it's like she's gone. It's like, you know, Damian Priest is just, you know, he's got the title to worry about. And then, I don't know, Finn's got nobody to be with. And then you got the two freaking, I wouldn't say jobbers because they're really good, JD and Dom. But
they lose more than they win. Yeah, I'm curious to see what they do with Judgment Day while Rhea's gone. Because I do think in a lot of ways Rhea is the glue. But, of course, there is a world champion that is still there. And I think that helps also. So we'll see. Now we got Jey Uso versus Finn Balor for the number one contendership of the World Heavyweight Championship. Jey Uso wins this match. Damian Priest comes out and confronts Jey, who is then attacked by JD, Dom, and Finn. Jey takes them all out before exiting through the crowd, and Damian Priest is looking on from the ring. The camera follows Jey, who is walking through the concourse, then walks through the front door of the arena, and he finds Sami Zayn standing outside, looking up at the exterior of the arena, and Sami's talking about how special that building is to him because it's the first show he ever went to 25 years ago, and he's walking back through the front door of that arena as a champion. Holy fuck, what a cool segment, what a cool transition into this next match. That was awesome.
I did love when Jey was trying to walk through and some dude just like tried to fiddle with his phone and couldn't get it in time and he walked in front of him and Jey just gave him the shove.
Oh, yeah, this was so good. Sammy walked in. Of course, he's hyped as fuck. The crowd's all out there in the concourse, so the camera's following Sammy walking through the concourse and then walking down the same aisle and stairs where Jey just walked out of. And Sammy's music hits, and that place just goes bananas.
Oh, my gosh.
So good. So anyway, Sammy's coming out, obviously, because he's defending the Intercontinental Championship against Chad Gable. So before the match starts, we got a Bronson Reed telling Chad Gable that he's coming after whoever wins the main event. And this is Bronson Reed saying this to Chad Gable while Gable is in Gorilla about to make his entrance. Sammy wins this match. Sammy goes over to help Gable get up. Gable raises his arm and then walks out of the ring. Sammy then gets out of the ring and he goes over to ringside and he hugs his wife. Well, while he is hugging his wife, Gable comes up out of nowhere, grabs him from behind, and German suplexes him onto the floor. Gable continues to attack Sammy on the outside, and the show ends with Gable doing an ankle lock to Sammy, and Sammy's upside down with his leg wrapped up in the turnbuckles. What a turn. I kind of expected this to happen, but man, it's so great. And what a way to do a heel turn like this than in front of Sammy's
the only thing missing
home province and home city.
The only thing missing is him shaving his head and then not wearing gold medals around his neck.
Man,
I think it's gonna be great. I'm looking forward to this. I hope he's by himself. And if he's going to be in a faction or a tag team, not even tag team, just someone following him, it needs to be legit.
I agree.
Bond Breakker, legit kind of thing.
Yeah, I think Gable needs to split off of Alpha.
Too funny, too childish.
Yeah, and I think they need to do something different with the people in that group at this point. I don't know what, but in any case, I think where I can see this going is Sammy having a fairly short reign and Gable ends up winning. And because that's the difference between Gable losing the title or losing his matches for the title and winning the title is this attitude, I guess, that Gable has now, that do whatever it takes to win sort of mentality that he didn't have when he faced Gunther.
Yeah. You think what's after Backlash, you know? The Clash at the Castle?
Backlash is April, May. That sounds right.
It's either Clash of the Castle is either June or May.
Wow, two back-to-back international PLEs is interesting. Clash at the Castle is
maybe it's June.
Gosh, give me the date. Where's the date? June 15th. June 15th.
Yeah, so Clash of the Castle is June, and then Money in the Bank is July. What's in between? Is it like Extreme Rules or something?
I don't think there is an April one.
Huh. Or May one.
Backlash 2024.
Anyways.
Backlash is May 4th. So, yeah, there's no... I take that back. There is an April PLE because WrestleMania was April. So
technically, yeah. So, okay. So, I thought Backlash was, like, the last weekend of April.
No, Backlash, okay. Clash at the Castle, and then Money in the Bank.
Jeez. Two back-to-back, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting.
All international.
Good for them,
anyways,
I guess.
So, maybe, you think somehow... I just don't see Gable winning it at Backlash. I see him if they don't do Intercontinental in Backlash, I think they do it at Clash of the Castle, and that's where he wins it.
I would like to see it at one of those. I really would. I don't think Sammy gets a long reign, and I think that's great because I think this is kind of what Gable needs at this point.
Yeah, I just think that Sammy doesn't have a reason to keep that title.
Yeah.
There's no reason.
Yeah,
I'm not behind it.
That's fair.
He did his due diligence to take it off Gunther.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
And that's kind of the tough part is if you're going to see Gunther's historic reign end, you would like to see that person hold on to that for a little bit. But I think it all depends on how Sammy loses it. If Gable cheats to win,
Chad has that one. Then maybe Chad has a long one.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm definitely interested, though, and this is going to be a good story between the two, and I'm excited for it. I know that for sure. What do we got coming up over the next couple shows? Well, for SmackDown, it's going to be Bayley versus Naomi for the Women's WWE Championship. We got the Fatal 4-Way Number 1 Contender match, Street Profits versus New Catch Republic versus Legado del Fantasma and versus AOP. And then, of course, we got LA Knight versus AJ Styles to decide who the number one contender is to face Cody Rhodes at Backlash for the Undisputed WWE Championship, as they've been calling it. I think they're transitioning back to WWE Championship, but I would kind of like to see that. I like how they are making the titles in each show uniform with each other in terms of their name and kind of their design a little bit, too.
So how do you think that's going to work with the draft?
I think if you move one title to a different show, then you have to move everybody else with the titles from that show over to the other show as well.
Yeah, where it's like you take the heavyweight, you take the, you know, the heavyweight title or the top title, you take everything else with it.
You
take the women's title, you take the tag team title.
I don't see them mixing up the designs from each show. Yeah. Like, I don't think you're going to have the World Heavyweight Championship on one show and then the WWE Women's Championship either. You could. I'd be fine with it, but I think giving them a similar design is a signification of the show you're on a little bit too. Less subtle than, like, red and blue belts, because that was hot garbage. Although I kind of like the red Universal Championship, if I'm being honest. I hate to admit it, but okay. I did like it.
It was okay. I mean...
I liked it just because it was different, I think.
Do you think we see new tag titles for SmackDown?
Oh, God, yeah. This week? I don't know if we will this week or not. It wouldn't surprise me, considering they're doing that Fatal 4-Way. Say, hey, here's what you guys are gunning for. And then Austin and Theory get the new belts, which... I'm not a fan of them having them anyway, but that's just me.
Honestly, who's in it again?
AOP, Legato, New Catch, and Street Profits.
Honestly, any one of those four, I would rather see have those titles.
I'm with you. Like Austin Theory and Grayson Waller are not the heels that like I enjoy to watch.
No,
I find them annoying. I don't want to watch them. That's just me. Maybe there's people out there that enjoy them. I just personally don't find them entertaining at all. But I don't know. Outside of SmackDown, next week's Raw, as we mentioned before, because DIY won that triple threat tag team match. They're the number one contenders. So next week on Raw, it's DIY versus Awesome Truth for those brand new world heavyweight or World Tag Team Championships, sorry. And then there was also an announcement on Raw that there will be a new Women's World Champion crowned this Monday on Raw. They didn't mention how they're doing it. I don't know if this is a battle royal. I don't know if this is a gauntlet. That wasn't mentioned, and I don't believe since Raw that it's been announced since either. So I'm intrigued to see where this is going to go. Who do you think gets this title after Rhea had to drop it?
Oh. Okay. Realistically, I see it's going to be like freaking Becky or something. I would like to see, like we talked about it before, I'd like to see Liv hold it for until Rhea gets back. Who knows how many months.
And I think I'm in the same boat. I don't think... I can't think of another woman on Raw who has been strong enough at this point that I think should hold that title. If you're watching on YouTube, please let us know who you think should hold that WWE world, not WWE. I keep fucking it up. Who do you think is going to get the Women's World Championship?
There you go.
Of course, we don't know how this is going to happen. I don't, like I said, I don't feasibly see anybody else that's strong enough right now to hold it other than the person that injured Rhea Ripley, solely, mostly for the reason that she did injure Rhea Ripley. And Liv has held the title before and done just fine as well.
Yeah. She beat Ronda Rousey twice.
That's right. That's right. So it's not like she is not credible, because she 100% is.
Another person that could probably do it, which I would hate, which I don't think I'd say hate. Hate's a strong word. I would dislike it a lot.
Nia?
Would be Nia Jax.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm indifferent.
She's doing okay.
But it's like she's beaten Becky legit one-on-one. But I mean, she's lost to Rhea.
And it was a legit match, too. Like, it wasn't, like, you know, using any weapons. Wasn't, like...
Yeah, Rhea beat her clean, 100%.
How is this match going to be done? Do you know?
Yeah, I don't think they said. I'm guessing it's either going to be a battle royal or a gauntlet or something like that.
I was thinking this, too.
Either that or Adam Pearce is going to be like, oh, you have, you have so many wins, and you have so many wins, so you two are... I don't think that would be the case. I would think either a battle royal or a gauntlet. I think a women's gauntlet match would be cool. They did one for the men's recently to find the number one contender for Gunther. I think it would be cool if they did it for the women. I don't know if we've ever, or at least how long it's been since we've seen a women's gauntlet match. But I digress. So that's what we got.
I thought those two.
So that's what we have to look forward to for the next week and things that will be covered next week right here on Unprofessional Wrestling. Yes, if we have time, let's try to fit a little bit of NXT in here next week and just hit a couple of the main points, a couple of the main stories, because I know we should. But we can kind of hit a couple of the main points quickly, and then we'll just expand on NXT as time goes on. And that sounds like a plan to me.
All right, I'm in.
I'm going to start giving it some time. Yeah, outside of that, any other final thoughts and things and stuff like that?
No, I think everybody's stories, I mean, it's starting, but I'm very intrigued on what we're going to see in the next couple months.
Yes, sir. It's a new era, as they continue to say. We had a lot of championships change hands recently. Rhea dropped hers. Sammy won his. Priest won his. Cody won his. Bayley won hers. I mean, almost all the championships are in different hands than they were before WrestleMania, except for Logan Paul. And that belt right there on your shoulder, the U.S. Championship. Curious to see where that goes as well, but we know he's obviously going to be carrying that into SummerSlam in Cleveland. That seems like a given to me. Well, if you're watching us on YouTube Live, we thank you very much for doing so. Stay up to date on everything Unprofessional Wrestling in our new Discord server. You can see the link to that in our video description here. If you're listening on Apple or Spotify, you'll find the link in the description of the podcast as well. If you are listening on Apple or Spotify, don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to comment, rate, like, whatever systems are over there. That would be awesome, and we would definitely love you very much for that as well. If you're on YouTube, or if you're not currently on YouTube, subscribe to us on there. We go live every week. We've been doing the show every week since Royal Rumble when we started it. We'll try not to miss any. It's going to come up at some point. Here and there. Sometimes things get rescheduled. Sometimes in the summer when things get busy for us, we might get missed. But in any case, subscribe to us on YouTube. Click the notification bell so that you know when we're going live. Also, like this video. If you're watching, like it right now. Let me see that like count go up. Just like it. Click that thumbs up button. Yeah, subscribe on YouTube. Subscribe to us on Apple and Spotify. Gosh. That's all my shameless plugs. Don't forget to join our Discord channel. Like I said, you'll find the links to that in the podcast or on the YouTube video. We want to definitely facilitate a community. We will be a community. Thanks again for everybody watching, listening, and subscribing. We'll give you the old salute. That's right. All right. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you right here
next week.
Thank you very much. Right here on the Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast. See ya.